The Museum of Broken Relationships. Sounds like a terrible place, right? But it is a real museum, originally based in Croatia and now with locations across the world that seek to create a space to share and treasure stories of heartbreak. Not just for romantic relationships, the space is dedicated to broken relationships of all kinds. So with family members, with coworkers, with your former or younger self. On display are mementos and tokens from those relationships, everything from love letters to beat up old Converse shoes to lottery tickets. The thought behind the project is that unlike some more destructive self-help instructions for recovery from grief and loss, the museum offers people a chance to overcome their emotional state or emotional collapse through creativity by contributing to its global collection. What once symbolized heartbreak and pain for someone is instead transformed into a kind of beautiful art, and it becomes a creative way to move forward from grieving to healing. We are brokenhearted. We are tired and sad and broken down. We are overwhelmed by the state of everything. Just this week, there have now been almost 300,000 people who have died in our country due to coronavirus. Last week, Casey Goodson Jr., a young Black man, was unjustly shot in front of his home. And we're in the midst of a slew of federal executions. So it seems like we could use a museum of our own to put the brokenness of this year into, but I'm not sure that you could fit a whole year into one building. And even if you could, getting rid of one year wouldn't return things to their former state. Today we hear from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah knows a thing or two about being brokenhearted and about everything being different. When we hear from Isaiah today, he is speaking to the Israelites as they are returning from exile, returning from their captivity in Babylon to their homeland. The Lord has anointed me, sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and to release the prisoners, Isaiah proclaims. These returning exiles have spent years being oppressed, held captive, and imprisoned, and surely they are brokenhearted. Not just because of the suffering that they have endured, but because even now as they return home, everything has changed. Temples, homes, gathering spaces have all been torn down or left in disrepair. Whole generations of families were born and lived and died in exile and never saw their homeland. The people's spirit as a community has been broken. For those of us today living through 2020 and the pandemic, we hold a fragile, broken kind of spirit too. We are surrounded by disrepair and dismantled different ways of living. And for those of us who live without the privileges that I suspect many of us have had in our lifetimes, today's scripture is probably even more relatable. We all are, in various ways, broken down and brokenhearted. Take hope. The Spirit of the Lord rebuilds. God revives. Our Lord restores. Isaiah comes to proclaim liberty and release, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to provide for those who mourn, give them garland instead of ashes and oil of gladness instead of mourning. Isaiah tells us that God takes these things that are marked as negative and replaces them with things that are positive. Those who mourn are comforted and made glad. Those who sit in ashes sorrowing are instead draped with a garland. Those who have felt faint in spirit now sing with praise. God, this master architect, restores people and places and all creation in such a way that whole cities will be built back up and repaired. For the people who lived in Isaiah's time, who have been stripped of their dignity throughout the ordeal of the exile, God's Spirit comes to restore their dignity, to give them back their honor. For us today, God's Spirit continues to do this same thing. Especially now, during a time in which many people's bodies have been physically stripped of dignity as they have suffered with sickness and died, and during a time of isolation and loneliness where dignity can feel lost as we are mentally taxed by being separated or alone, God comes to restore us, to give back dignity to our bodies, our spirits, our minds. God has clothed me with garments of salvation, covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown to spring up, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations, our text tells us. The restoration, the renewal, and revival that God offers starts first with our individual bodies, and then moves outward into our communities. First, our individual hearts and spirits are mended. And then as we are restored, we go out into the world, into our communities to take part in the rebuilding that is happening there. Today marks the beginning of the third week of Advent, this season where we are awaiting the tiny baby whose birth and life and death bring us the ultimate kind of restoration. Jesus's life and ministry were all about restoring dignity and justice to people, to their communities, to all the world. Our God is a God of renewal, bringing life out of even the most barren and dead places. And so we will not be left broken and in disrepair without dignity forever. The Spirit of the Lord rebuilds. We are invited to rejoice. We are invited to be glad. We are invited to celebrate, although maybe not necessarily by having a party. We're invited to rejoice not because we are so lucky or because we have some kind of inside secret on what God is up to. Rather, we are invited to rejoice so that others can see this restoration of God. We rejoice so as to bring attention to the wonderful restoration that God does in the world, both for us and through us. And so instead of throwing a party, we're invited to rejoice by making way for a new kind of architect, a new way of building. In verse 5 of our reading, Isaiah says, "Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Foreigners shall till your land and dress your vines, but you shall be called priests of the Lord. You shall be named ministers of our God. You shall enjoy the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you shall glory." Now, it can be tempting to read this and think, wow, so great to have somebody else come in and take care of things for me so I don't have to worry about doing the work, and see ourselves as the strangers or the foreigners who work the land, or as watching them. But I'm not sure if this is what Isaiah is saying. Remember that Isaiah was speaking to those who had been imprisoned and held captive for decades. Most of us don't know that kind of oppression. But there are people in our city, in our world, in our neighborhoods who do. And so what we are invited to do is the work of the stranger, to do that standing or feeding or planting, and to rejoice in the work. Restoration of dignity and justice is exactly what Jesus came to earth to do. So as Christians, it is exactly what we are called and invited to do. We are invited to rejoice that restoration comes to all people. And then we are invited to take part in the work that needs doing so that others can have that restoration fully. With God's renewal and our participation, life will not spring up to its former glory, its former standards and way. But life will be better, so much more than anyone can imagine. And for that, we are invited to rejoice. So in this third week of Advent, we draw ever closer to the manger, the day of birth for the one who turns the world around. We trust that God will restore the dignity of all people, that the world will be rebuilt in a way better than it was before. Restoration is the gift of the Spirit of the Lord. So rejoice. Christ is with us, and Christ is coming. Amen.